from 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 1.
Now Naaman was commander of the army of the king of Aram. He was a great man in the sight of his master and highly regarded, because through him the Lord had given victory to Aram. He was a valiant soldier, but he had leprosy.
That was 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 1. Being a good navigator, you always cite the reference, then the verse, then cite the reference again. So that was 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 1. We're going to talk about that a little bit on a Testimony Tuesday on Monday, as my special guest is Aaron Bird. I've known you for 5 or 6 months. How long have you been with the Salvation Army here in Champaign County?
Right before Thanksgiving 2023.
Okay, so let's see, Thanksgiving, we're into the 6 months, so about 8 months.
Yep.
Okay. In fact, I remember when there was a kettle ringing going on that Christmas a year back, and that's where I met you briefly over at Prairie Gardens or something.
I've been a better person for that meeting ever since, Mark.
That's right. So you're our special guest on today's edition of Mark and Friends. We're going to come back to 2 Kings because we're going to talk about and hopefully encourage you today to stay in the water.
That's stay in the water.
Theme.
That's right.
But before we get into some of Aaron's testimony, faith journey, life story, maybe a little of his love story to the beloved Pandy.
Mm-hmm.
And his two daughters, we'll probably have to do a shout out for them. One's a very good volleyball player. Is somebody in track too, or just volleyball?
Tennis.
And okay.
Basketball.
Okay, we'll get back to that. But I wanted to highlight a special event gathering that you are saying is going to be a life changer for most that attend. In fact, you said everyone who attends will either want to volunteer with the Salvation Army or serve God in a greater capacity. But talk about what's happening. It's Christmas in July here on July 25th. Talk a little about that.
Mark, I had plans to attend Disney World that day, but I canceled them as soon as I found out what was going to happen. I mean, I have to be at this event, and I'm inviting everybody that I know personally, because I'm going to be very proud that they were in that room.
Mm-hmm.
They're going along in their everyday life doing a great job, and when they get in that room, they're going to have 100% clarity about what God is doing to change lives at the Salvation Army. This is a building of life change. I had no idea until I started serving and volunteering and working here. Jay Lehman, former NFL player, linebacker for the University of Illinois, will be a featured speaker there. He's been brought into a secret that we're going to unfold and unveil at this experience. And it is an experience, not just an event. There'll be dinner served. It'll be at the Vineyard Church, July 25th, in their event hall. It'll start on time. It'll end right on time. It will be an event that you're going to wish you had attended and brought somebody with you. And if you do that, I guarantee you'll be talking about this for weeks, months, and maybe even years. Because when I heard what's about to happen, I cried. I cried in my office, and I said, we have to make this happen. So that's going to happen. I hope you're there.
That's about 6 weeks away. It's on July 25th. It's being hosted at the Vineyard Church in their event hall, 6 to 8 p.m. Jay Lehman, he also serves on your board, right? I think he's been on the Salvation Army board for a number of years as a great team of followers of Jesus that have helped oversee the progress and the various capacities that the Salvation Army is involved in. And there's probably a Salvation Army in your area. I know in Springfield and Decatur and I think Bloomington, but Salvation Army meets so many different needs. And I've had the major from Springfield on and the team captains here in Champaign, Kenyon and Melissa, and now Aaron. What's your official title or role here at the Salvation Army?
Director of Community Development and Engagement.
Community Development Engagement. And you were a part of last year's Christmas in July. I think it's only happened. This will be the second time, second
annual? This is the second time and my first experience with it.
I attended last year and thoroughly enjoyed it and got to see all the different people that volunteer and the aspects of serving the community in a variety of ways, through food, through clothing, disaster relief, education. I think 65,000 plus people are served food and come in. You have all those numbers and statistics, but I want to get a little of your testimony and how you ended up here at the Salvation Army. But I wanted to highlight, listening friend, put July 25th on your calendar for a life-changing event. It's going to be held at Vineyard Church in Urbana.
It is RSVP only.
RSVP only. So how can somebody RSVP?
They can contact this local Champaign County Salvation Army. They can call here. They can email me at aaron.bird@usc.salvationarmy.org. Or you simply call.
Yeah, that's the easy one. What's the phone number?
217-255-255-2152.
So we encourage you to come with a friend, family member, a neighbor. It's going to be a life-changing event, and you can financially support the great work that they do. So I hope you'll come out on July 25th, Christmas in July, as a special friend and fundraiser for the Salvation Army, being hosted at Vineyard Church in their event hall, and that's in Urbana, Illinois, 6 to 8 p.m. Well, I wanted to make sure we covered that because there's a lot to your faith journey, life story, how God led you here. But you and I off air for about 10 minutes and you've not had any show prep. I saw you come through here, and as many of our listeners know, I have a home studio. We have this studio here at the Champaign Salvation Army. We work out of our Springfield office many times, which has 5 different studios. So I love being in Springfield because there's a lot of growth and training opportunities. And then this coming Thursday here at the Salvation Army is our ministry leader luncheon. So we have anywhere from 40 to 55 pastors and ministry leaders. Well, tomorrow in Springfield at the Salvation Army, we have our First Lady Ministry Luncheon, where we have female pastors and pastors' wives and women in ministry leadership. We usually have anywhere from 30 to 45 women that gather at noontime. So that'll be happening tomorrow. And then Thursday, I'm back here to do the Ministry Leader Luncheon. But anyways,
Mark, I don't know if your listeners know how much investment you make in people.
Well,
it's big time.
Yeah, well, that's what God wants us to do, to bear fruit, and we can bear fruit as we help inspire others and equip them and encourage them. And you're a part of what God has raised up here at the Salvation Army. What we mentioned since last November, you've been on staff here. But I was intrigued by this concept. You and I talked about it off air, about staying in the water. Because I said, what verse should I open up with? And you said, well, I like Luke chapter 1. I like Romans 8, Revelation 21. You said, there's so many different ones. But one that I love to think about, and the concept about staying in the water, is derived out of the Second Kings. So let's just start there. Why did we begin with 2 Kings chapter 5?
It's the journey I'm in right now, Mark, and that is every day people wake up and the first thing they think about is like a stampede of horses of problems. And those problems exist in the past. They're memories. They're memories of the past. So right there in the first 10 minutes, people start their day living in the past because they're memories. And they've been so conditioned, we're all conditioned, to stay in that past through those memories and ruminate on our problems rather than on the good news. And justification, meaning declared right, go to heaven, that's already done. God has already taken care of that, Mark. Now it's a matter of skill development and the fruit of the Spirit, and that's faith and confidence. And I do not want to live a life on autopilot of problems. And so if I am, and if your listeners are, then their past is familiar, and that familiar past becomes a predictable future. And Naaman here, he's doing everything to bust out of his familiar past of leprosy. He is so sick and tired of being sick and tired. He's probably being made fun of at the grocery stores. He doesn't like people whispering at him, you know, what's going on with his flesh. And he's a general in the army. He's got command over all these armed forces, and he doesn't know what to do. And your listeners can go read it. I won't read the whole story. So the short version is he's got to go to Israel based on a girl's word that he would get a miracle, which is what I do when I have some life-threatening disease or just anything. I want God to perform a miracle. So he's got to go across enemy territory, go to the king and ask for a miracle. He takes this girl's word at it, which, by the way, he kidnapped this girl, this teenage kid. He's that desperate. And then the king says, I can't help you. So now he's thinking he's been set up. And he brought, I think it was $2.4 million worth of money in today's currency because he's trying to buy God's answered prayer. And you can't do it. Like God just wants to show favor to your listeners. And then he goes to this water because the prophet, the preacher said, if he goes into this water, the water's not special, but it was his faith needed to increase a little bit. If he'd go into this water and he would dip down seven times and he stayed there in that water and not give in to the embarrassment of what other people would think, not give in to God doesn't have a plan for my life anymore. I have stuck in my life. I'm stuck with these problems, with these bills, with this church, whatever. And he decided to go in the water. At first, he took his ball and went home. He was mad.
Yeah. Not only mad, he was angry because the prophet wouldn't even come out and see him. He's like, hey, I'm this general. I command people. He doesn't even have the courtesy to come out.
There's a lesson there, Mark. Even if you're a Christian, we pray for God to do great things in our life. If we're in resistant mode, our energy is in resistance. Our heart, our faith is resistant, like Naaman. You can't receive. Like, you have to have your hands out ready to receive. We can't buy God's miracles. And this is no proof that God will defend it. You can't manipulate God to do a miracle. But you can put yourself in a position to receive, to live in receptivity mode. And waking up in our problems that becomes a predictable future of more problems is not receptivity mode. God's language isn't primarily English. It's like this. It's like your radio show frequency. He speaks frequently. He speaks faith, that energy, that spirit. And so if my heart can get on that level of receiving and walking around and closing my eyes every now and then to the circumstances, because when I'm looking at the circumstances, I'm like, oh no, a flat tire. Oh no, some problem at the job. Oh no, my husband won't take out the trash or whatever. Then now I'm back in resistance mode and I can't receive that. And that's what Naaman was.
And I also wrote down the word humility. Unless we come to God in humility that we have a need. Here's Naaman, who's this commander, probably looked up to other than the leprosy aspect of his body, but he commanded people. He was in a power position.
Right. I agree.
But he had to humble himself and then go into the water. He's like, I'd rather have something more heroic.
And there was other water he pointed out to that was clean. This is dirty water.
Yeah, yeah. But he had to humble himself. And that's what even that servant said. If he would have told you to do something great or fantastic, you would have done it with no question, right? Well, he's telling you to do this. Why don't you follow up? And I think many times, like you're saying, sometimes God asks us to do something, but many times it's just to suck up. I mean, to eat our pride because we don't want to ask for prayer or we don't want to share we're struggling in this area or we just don't want to confess that sin because we think he doesn't notice, but he knows all.
I agree 100%.
So why is it important for our listener? Why is it important for me or for you to stay in the water?
Once you start living a life of faith, it's always about increasing that faith and that confidence. Jesus was amazed two times in the New Testament. He's like, this is amazing. He only said that two times when there were people who were increasing their faith. They were not Christians. So it's just a matter of, God, would you increase my faith today? It doesn't mean you don't do anything. He went to the water. But can you imagine going to the water, Mark, and now you're there, but then dip one, you come out, nothing?
No.
Dip two, nothing? This is a fiasco. They're embarrassing me. But I stay in the water of faith and confidence, and I don't look at the circumstances to tell me how to feel anymore. And if I can get to that level more and more each day, it's not going to happen overnight, but it is happening day by day. And stay on the frequency. It's like turning into, you know, I see your radio station over there, 104.7 in Bloomington or 102.5. If I turn on 102.5 in Champaign, I'm not going to get country music.
No.
If I turn on 91.7, I'm not going to get 94.5 music. So if I'm tuned into my circumstances and say, God, look how big my problems are, my frequency now is on the problems rather than saying, hey, problems, look how big my God is.
So staying in the water is sometimes building on the faith that you've seen him provide answers before, or you've seen him where he's come through, and you stay in that turmoil sometimes, the rumblings of the water, or you find cleansing, you find change. I'm just trying to, I'm pulling out different things as I'm looking at this.
He could have said, go tie your tennis shoes seven times. The shoes and the water don't matter. Those are metaphors for where God is meeting you where you're at. And he will always work with what he has. And if he has resistance, he will honor that. If he has receptivity, you're more prone to receive your miracle.
Well, receiving a miracle, that happened how many years ago when Pandy came into your life? We got to find a little of your love story and how she and you now have these two lovely daughters.
our church met in a white barn that was designed for cattle. They sold that barn. We took over the church. My dad was the pastor. I was 12 years old. We were at a VBS. 100 plus kids were there. We were doing arts and crafts. I looked across the room, and I'm not kidding you, Mark. I saw this girl, and she had curly blonde hair.
And you're 12 years old?
I'm 12 years old. I'm looking over all these other kids. She's got hot pink glasses, and she had a, what was it, DJ Jazzy Jeff shirt that said, "Can't touch this," or whoever sang that song, right?
Yeah. Remember Can't touch this.
Yeah. Yeah. And I saw at least four angels around her. And I'd never introduced myself. I didn't know who she was, but I knew there was something there. And I was attracted to people who were attracted to God, even though I wasn't a Christian at the time, because something moral in me. And I ended up that day walking over to her table during the arts and crafts. I sat across from her. And
you're 12.
I'm 12. It took me about 20 minutes to make that walk of 50 feet. That's how scared I was. I was bumping into people. I was sweating. And I sat across from her. And she looked up, not knowing who I was. And I said, "May I give you a kiss?"
Really?
For sure. And I couldn't breathe. Her face, Mark, turned, I mean, as red as the reddest apple on the planet. I kid you not. Anyway, she couldn't talk. She couldn't say anything, but her friends were laughing and going under the table. They could not believe this boy was doing this. And I put my hand across the table. I dropped a Hershey's kiss on the table, and I walked away.
Wow.
That girl became my wife.
Wow. So what was the next steps? You went to the same high school?
No, she was at the rival high school. My dad went and called on their family to be a part of the church. We went to the same youth group. And that was probably why we stayed together, because we had distance between us at that time. We were not mature.
Right.
And we were moral and all that stuff, but we just did not have any communication skills, especially me. She's a calm person. So yeah. I'm blessed big time that she was so calm and kind. The first time my dad said, "This is the one," was we were going through a Hardee's drive-thru at night, and there was a bug in front. There was 1,000 bugs. There was a bug in front of the order menu, and Pandy, who my wife is now in that age, junior high, said, "Hang on." She wanted to get out and move the bug.
Hmm.
And my dad could identify something about her heart, whether that's right or wrong.
Right.
There's something there that is lasting.
Hmm. And when did your faith journey begin to grow or develop, or when did you recognize Jesus as Lord and Savior?
So at 12, I got baptized, and I was the only pastor's kid in town that did not rebel. That didn't mean that doesn't
that
mean
came
special.
Later. No,
I never really rebelled. I never saw the fruit in it. And I'm an achiever, and I want to see fruit in things. And I didn't see fruit in that. But at 21, I got a call that said the best man in my wedding had cancer, and that's my dad. And so we were in the Springfield Hospital, which some of your listeners over in Springfield. And I watched him die.
Mm.
Long story short, there were pastors, professors, friends. He was very well known. They were singing hymns, and there were some moving moments. But Mark, in that moment, I felt nihilism.
Mm.
I did not feel God. I felt empty. I felt it was, the whole universe was cold. So the next day, I started sending out applications. This is before Alexa. You could ask Google, Alexa, AI these questions. Mm. Applications to PhD program in theology, because I wanted answers. I did not want to live a lie. I did not want to live a lie. So I needed to know the answers from whoever said they knew the answers. And I believe that to people who had PhDs, whether that's true or not.
Mm-hmm.
So I ended up enrolling in Trinity. I got my PhD in theology. And every single paper that I wrote there revolved around the problem of pain and evil and suffering, including my dissertation. And I got answers. And at the end of the day, Jesus makes my life better, shows me how to get better at life, and promises eternal life. The documents are historical, and on and on and on. So I recommitted my life to Jesus. I'm a believer. I have Buddhist friends, atheist friends, agnostic friends. I don't judge them, because I know everybody's on a journey, and I love Jesus, and this is where my life's at.
Is it Tozer? I can't remember the one author. It deals with pain. I don't know if it was his wife who passed away.
C.S. Lewis, A Grief Observed.
Okay.
Do not read that book if you're looking to get close to God.
Yeah.
But as part of his journey, he ended up getting close to God, but it was hard.
And I didn't do much of an introduction on the front end, and we only have a minute or two left, but you were in campus ministry at the University of Illinois. Talk a little about that and then how God called you to be here these past 8 or so months.
It was the greatest job I've ever had for 21 years, and I left on very good terms. I wanted to meet great people. I've been working with future leaders of the world who would be in control of the top 5% of the income in the world and control water distribution, policies, economics. And I walked over to Salvation Army, and my heart blew up. I remember the first time I saw a homeless person. It's not who you think it was. It was a person who lost their house in 2008, who had a six-figure job and a bunch of money in the bank account. And the homeless person was wearing a suit without a suit coat, getting a free meal that day. And my buddy said, it can happen to anyone, anytime. And I stopped judging in that moment years ago. And ever since then, there's no judgment. Our captains are amazing people. Mm-hmm. They're constantly meeting people wherever they're at on the journey. So I'm excited to be meeting the needs of these people and seeing the life change of where they're going through and helping them now.
And where do you see God maybe leading you in the coming days? Because you have your PhD and well-educated, learned to preach, worked for campus ministry for many years, now with the Salvation Army. Are you just saying, Lord, here I am, use me?
Oh, yeah. I taught in grad school, taught in undergrad. But Mark, I think what's next is to work with you, just sweeping the floors. Here I am, Lord, use me. Be useful. I saw that documentary with Arnold Schwarzenegger. He said, just find a way to be useful. He feeds donkeys in his backyard because he does not want to get old too fast, and he wants to just be useful.
Well, in case you missed the front end of the program, this edition of Mark and Friends, the Monday edition, is archived at greatnewsradio.org, also at wluj.org. But there's a special friend and fundraising Christmas in July gathering. It's a fundraising dinner. It's on July 25th, so about 6 weeks away, 6 to 8 p.m., being hosted at the Vineyard Church in Urbana. My special guest today on the Monday edition of Mark and Friends is Aaron Bird, Director of Community Engagement and Development. He has a heart for people, and I hope that many of you will turn out for Christmas in July to the Vineyard Church. If you need more information, you can call the station, 217-367-7777. Or call Aaron and the team here at the Salvation Army of Champain County, 217-255-2152, 217-255-2152. All right. Well, thank you, Aaron. We'll meet you around the building here. And thank you for all the work you do behind the scenes and the great team here and at the many Salvation Army centers throughout the state of Illinois and Indiana and throughout our country. They do a needed work in so many different ways, and they get to proclaim Jesus and help people in tangible ways. So thank you, Aaron. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Aaron Bird with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you. Have a great day and night.